Thanks, guys. Well, as we get underway, or not get underway, but as we conclude our service today, I want to speak very clearly about what it is we've just witnessed here, what baptism is, why we're here, what church is about, and sort of cover some of the big ticket items, or some of the big picture items, as it were. And particularly if you're here today visiting for the first time, it may be for some of you, church is something that's been very new, or maybe this is one of the first times you've been in a church building. I'd like to talk about, as I say, why it is that we're here and what it is that baptism is all about. If you've been around, conversely, if you've been around Christian circles for some time or been a believer for some time, you probably know the passage I'm going to speak from. And I'd like us to turn, if you've got your Bibles, just to the end and just listen and feel free to listen. If you don't, I'm going to read just from the very end of the book of Matthew. We've been working through the book of Matthew on a regular basis here. And I thought I was going to be picking up at a part where we've been working through, but as my wife said to me earlier in the week and others testified, really good if we can reinforce and understand. So the end of Matthew 28, reading from verse 18, just three short verses. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority," we heard that before in the testimony, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Let's pray. Father God, indeed we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity with which it brings to our lives. We thank you for the way that you've also spoken very clearly to the church and its role to reach out to the unchurched, the unbelieved, the as yet ungathered. We thank you for the succinctness of this passage, and as we briefly look at this today, we will not do it justice in its entirety. But Lord, speak to us. If we've come and we've not yet come to that place, speak to us. If we're in this place of being the ones who are to go, the ones who are to go as we go in our normal day-to-day life, encourage us, strengthen us, and equip us, because indeed you have given us all authority. Thank you again for your Lord, for your word. Thank you again, Lord, for your word. Amen. So today, if I want to summarize sort of one particular thing, it would be about purpose, the purpose of the church, a purpose and why we did baptism and why we do this, and why we have credo, as in believer's baptism, as opposed to pedo, which is child baptism, just a difference, a distinction that we make here. Many years ago, when I came back from overseas, I was some years in England, and I started a job back. I thought I was going to be doing accounting, which was my background. And I'd seen a job that had accounts manager, and I thought they must have got the wording wrong, or they meant an accounting manager. So I entered into the unsuspecting world of sales with a real shock, realizing that an accounts manager was very different from an accounting manager. So I turned up and wondered where the computer was and where the ledgers were and the stuff that I was going to be doing. They said, "I think you've misunderstood. We need someone to manage accounts." And I said, "Yes, I'm used to managing accounts," obviously talking at complete cross purposes. So there began my career at ACE Computer Training, which was ACE stood for Applied Computer Education, and we ran a series of courses. And I began to realize that sales and, as it were, my job and my role there didn't just happen. People just didn't come in and decide to get computer training. It had to be, as it were, gone out. We needed to go and, as it were, meet people, talk about computer training, etc. And, as it were, dare I say it, become evangelists for this particular thing. Now, I just want to qualify as I start. I'm really in no way trying to illustrate or parallel computer training to the role and the purpose of the church. But there are some small parallels, and if you humour me and go with me as we do this, there's some similarities, and you may relate to this in your own job or career necessarily. Because in this passage, it speaks about three things that we are to do.
And firstly, I'm going to speak to the church, the gathered church. If you're visiting today and you are a believer, or if you're part of the church in the here at Beckenham, there are three things. And then I want to speak to those who we respond to, or respond to what it is that we do. And the three things I want to talk about is to go, firstly, to baptize, secondly, and lastly, to teach. And as we said, the way in which we go, unlike my very timid approaches and cold calling and ringing up on the phone, if you ever had to do that in selling computer training courses, it's a complete opposite. So the parallel is completely different here. Rena, without knowing, giving a wonderful testimony of all authority. And talk about coming from a position of great breadth, the all authority. This woman will not receive her care, will not receive what it is that we're here to do. And in desperate frustration, Rena called out. What a wonderful testimony, because she knows she has all authority. And at the part of this passage here, for this and so many other things, Jesus said, I have given you all authority. So when we go, and we go to tell people about Jesus, which is the role and the purpose of the church, in order that we may disciple and teach, we don't go in our timidity or in our own strength, we go in all authority. And some of us may be used to the language where we claim that authority. We actually say, yes, this is something that is from on high. It would be a very sad thing indeed if all we did was go in the strength that we may particularly have, or the training that we have, or the ability that we've picked up on. And many times in various courses or various jobs that we have and various roles or careers, we may go in whatever authority has been given us by the particular organisation. Maybe we have various lettering, or we may have some imprints on us which explain that this is the particular organisation with which we go and do whatever it is that we go and do. And whatever authority is given is projected by the strength of that organisation. Maybe it's a rather small organisation. We have to explain ourselves an awful lot more before we actually even get in the door, or that may not be the case. Or it may be that the reputation of the organisation precedes us. And here I believe is the challenge that we have as the gathered church. And it may be being a little bit too direct if you're not used to church situations at all, but sometimes what precedes us may or may not be as helpful as we think. And it may be that we go as ambassadors for us that are called to go, which is all who would call Jesus Lord. And the expression to go here in this passage is as we go. As we continue in our normal lives and as we go, we are telling with the reputation that precedes us of the church, for all that that may mean, that we are to step into that authority that Jesus has given us. And we're to go and do two things. We're to go in complete authority and understand that complete authority that we go in because he is Lord and Saviour of all. And secondly, we are to go and to make disciples. The word disciples is not from the word discipline, although it may seem very similar, because the word disciples is the word that we often use for maths, mathetes, which means to work it out. And the Bible speaks of working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It's something that needs to be worked at and worked out. There's two words, at and out, sound very similar, but both are relevant. And if we're wondering what it is to live the Christian life, you come here today and think, what is it that Liam's actually stepped into? What is it that he's going to be doing? And the wonderful testimonies that a few people gave, particularly of their baptism and what that meant for them after them. They have worked out their own salvation with fear and trembling. So they are here today, and the testimony of those that gave testimony in turn of their salvation, the step before baptism, but of their baptism, shows that they have managed, bless them, to work it out from now, or for rather from then until now and in the future. And all of us are here today who call Jesus Lord are currently working out our own salvation. And the reason this word disciple, this word mathetes, which is, as I say, means working it out, is so important, is that we may look at someone else and think, that's how you live it out. That's how this Christian life is done. And you may be partly right, but probably mostly wrong. While there are some similarities, absolutely, the similarities are much, much smaller than the differences. Because nobody is going to work and walk your exact journey. If I was to say to Michael over there, who worked many years in engineering with my accounting background, this is how I should live my Christian life in an engineering background, well, I'd very quickly come unstuck. I would like to think like an engineer. I am to blame for not getting the heaters working on this morning. So I'm sorry if it was a bit cooler than it should have been. It's an incredibly complex little, it's a tiny wee, anyway, getting into details. To work the heater thing out is very complex. I don't have an engineering mind, though I aspire to. But it really doesn't matter how much I aspire to have an engineering mind. I did not nut out the heater controller 2 weeks in a row. And I'm responsible for that because I thought I could nail it. So I came down here on Tuesday or Thursday at 1 o'clock and I thought, I will sort out this blessed heater controller. And I did not. Much as I desire to work out according to somebody else's strength and abilities, I can't do it. You've seen sadly the evidence of that. I stand before you convicted that I'm not an engineer. Likewise, other people, and they're probably very pleased, are not an accountant, which was my background, and it's just the way that we're wired up. So understanding this call to discipleship isn't a call to be a mirror or a copied image of all the people that are here today, and of quite a variety and diverse group of people we are. It's a call to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And when we disciple others, it's not that they become mirror images of us as the discipler, but we merely begin and open the door. So that is what a disciple is, someone who is working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. And those of us who are believers are called to go and make disciples. Secondly, and this is the focal point, I guess, of what we're coming here today, because this passage, this whole passage is known as a chiasm, and it's a bit of a literary device that starts with two things at the start, which talk about total authority and total presence. And then it focuses down to a point, and we've sort of reached the point in the middle. And the point in the middle is about baptism. And two things about baptism that it says here. Firstly, in the name of who the baptism has done, and secondly, why those three names are important. While we practice credo baptism, which is on the basis of belief in the Baptist Church as opposed to pedo baptism, and I'm not wanting to belittle or compare either, it's just a distinction that's made. One of the understandings that can often happen in an Anglican service or a Catholic service, if you've been involved in those, is a christening or a christening. As the name is given of the person, often during sprinkling or baptism, because there is a naming ceremony that is taking place. And in many ways, the parallel is here as well. The Bible talks about believers first being called Christians or Christians, Christ followers, at a particular time. And ever since that time in the book of Acts, where believers were first called Christians, from then on, those who follow Christ are called Christians. And if we were doing this in some time in the past, Liam would essentially have his name given at the particular time of baptism. And I'm not just talking about child baptism, I'm talking about believer's baptism. So it may well be that in times past it was the case and the custom that Liam was given a Christian name or a Christian name, or a name that associated him with Christ. And you can see the evidence here, or you can see the imperative here. We are to be baptized in the name, firstly, of Christ. So it would be essentially Liam, as well as your two middle names, Liam Christian Hall. And there are those that have the name Christian as their first name, meaning those that are Christ followers. As to the second part, why it is that we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there's many different understandings of why that might be. But let me just give you one that might be a summary. Firstly, understanding the love of the Father. It's a mystery, firstly, I might say. We'll never fully understand the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But if we understand the distinctives, and it may really help us in understanding why we are to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the purpose and method. The Father loves us, Jesus saves us, and the Holy Spirit guides us. I want to read a quick extract of how that might actually, or what that actually might mean for us. Here's another take which may be helpful if we're trying to understand this being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The name of God is a triune name, meaning three parts, separate but indivisible. And baptism in the triune name of God is because we are saved and given a new life by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together in harmony. Secondly, another perspective is baptism in the triune name of God is called that we may bear the name of God and are called to a new work. And thirdly, baptism in the triune name of God unites us with others who have been saved by the same God and bear the same name. And I mentioned, I think, at the start of the message today that what we are representing here in baptism. Paul speaks of this in the book of Romans, of dying to self. Dying, as it were, into a watery grave and then rising up to new life in Christ. And understanding that as Jesus had to die and gave his life for us and then rose again, in a sense, we are following him by the representation of baptism. And lastly, the wider purpose of what happens following on from that. When I worked at the computer training organisation, we had a wee bit of a, it's probably a bit cheesy now thinking about it, but if you did an ACE course or signed up for an ACE course, you were known as an ACER, a bit like a sort of someone who was part of the organisation. And you became an ACER, as it were, when you signed up for the course, not when you became an expert in the particular discipline or the particular course that you had. We spent a lot of time back in the day training people how to use Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, Access Project, and various other computer packages as they were. This is some years ago now, but it was quite common to receive training in these courses before you use them in your career. And there'd be stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four, etc. But you became an ACER when you signed up, and we had a little certificate that we gave. In many ways, this is an understanding of baptism and what it is that you are baptized. You are named a Christian, or as the parallels I have, as an ACER, when you signed up, not when you became an expert. You have started this journey. Liam is a Christian when he signed up initially, before baptism, when he decided to follow Jesus and make him Lord and Saviour of his life. And Liam, at some stage, will be sharing more about his journey and his testimony with us. But it's important to understand that the teaching, the last step here that I want to speak about today, teaching everything that was commanded of us, is something that is a lifelong journey of discovery. Sadly, the church, not sadly, the reality is rather, the church is often characterized by the Christians, the people inside of them, and being fallen, sinful human beings, regardless of the fact that we are saved, we will find ourselves from time to time not being the best representatives, not being the best ambassadors. And I would ask us all, particularly those that have gone before and know very much that's the case, to give Liam and others who are going to get baptized shortly special grace and favor as they step in, as they have stepped into the waters of baptism, in understanding that. Getting alongside them, knowing it will be a difficult time because the enemy, the one who comes against all that we stand for, particularly does not want to let this baptism take. I'm speaking, and I would invite you back next week if you're not involved in a church anywhere, about the parable of the sower. Sorry, in a few weeks' time I'm going to speak about that in future, which talks about the trials and challenges of the cares of the world particularly, and of the trials and temptations that come. And they will come. There is nothing more certain. Which is why this third part is so important. Just looping back to my weak computer training analogy, we would sometimes find that between stage one and stage two of Word, we would find that someone would get to a point of frustration in their career, or rather in the very small part of their career, where they used Microsoft Word and they said, I need to come on stage two because I'm frustrated in not being able to use the package, the full package as it were, in the way that it should be being used. There's got to be a better way. Discipleship and coming under teaching as the word is spoken in small groups and in large groups in this setting and even larger groups of combined settings, I would encourage that frustration isn't always such a bad thing. It's where we realise there's more that we have to learn and where the Holy Spirit may be prompting us, it's time for you to dig a little deeper in your journey as a disciple, in this working it out, this methetes understanding. There is more that is to be done. So the first thing to be said is Jesus said, we are to be teaching all that I have commanded you. If you're not familiar with church, it may be that one of the things that you may be familiar with is something known as the Ten Commandments. And if you've been overseas, there's a popular T-shirt that says, they're not the Ten Suggestions, particularly in the Deep South in the States, I understand it's a common T-shirt. Because when when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments to give to us, they weren't just ideas or suggestions or things that were given in jest or lightly. They are the Ten Commandments. And these are a commandment is something that Jesus has given us in order that we may teach others. So that's the first thing to understand. They're not suggestions, they are commandments. And there's any number of them that, of course, we look at as we've been working through the book of Matthew. But lastly, in looping back, as it were, to this understanding of the totality of what the Christian life is about, we start off, as I've said, with all authority has been given, and we end this passage that he is with us for all time. And it says in verse 20, it says, lo, I am with you always. And the word lo is a word taken from an ancient sort of French word meaning loque or to look. Look here. Understand this. You need to examine this. Because without the word lo, it's just a statement, I am with you. But look, see, understand that I am with you always. And he emphasizes at this time this authority that he starts with in the passage. So in summary, what it is that we're about, we are, as believers, to go, baptize and teach in order that others come, be baptized and are taught. Whichever one of these two relates to you today, I want to end with an invitation. Invitation firstly for those that have come today, they have been invited. You may have just come to observe a baptism and think this is what you've done, and that's very relevant and very correct. But there's a whole lot more. It may be for you that you're thinking, well, is what Liam has done something that may be in store for me? Or why is it that he has done this and it's something that I've not yet stepped into? Very simply, Jesus came in order to save. That's the meaning of his name, the Anointed One who saves, and he came in order to save us from our sin. Our sin is every little thing that we have done wrong that breaks God's commandment, his understanding of how it is that we should live and how it is that we should be, but we cannot do it in our own strength. And please, it wouldn't take very long at all if you've lived with Christians to understand that those of us who are here are not absolutely perfect, not in any way, shape or form. However, we do know the way of salvation. We do know the locus or the focus of salvation, and that is through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Another little bit of maybe wonder you have here is the crosses that are around the church in various places, because this indicates the sacrifice that Jesus made. He had to die on a cross in order to take our sin upon him. He did that once for all time, that all of us that accept that one sacrifice is paid forever. It may be that you've come today, you've come into this place and you're thinking, who is this Jesus? Who is this God that is the one that we are talking and that we are focusing about? The Jesus that we are talking about. The biblical Jesus is the one that came to die for our sins, and we have yet to accept, we have only to accept that he has done that for us. But to come in repentance, a turning around. Another word, one last word I'll finish with today is the word metanoia, which is a major turning. Meta being big picture, a turning around of the position, and it's the word we use for the word repent. That is the entry point, as it were, into the Christian life. Repentance and turning from our place of going in one direction from another. It's not just saying sorry and then continue to do that again, although sometimes that's often what we may find ourselves doing. But salvation comes by repentance. And then following on from that, as we see, baptism and teaching. So I want to close with an invitation. I'm just going to pray a prayer, and as I do that, it may be that you want to respond and would love to talk with you afterwards. Please come to the front. You don't need to do it in a very big or public way, but some of us will be up the front there. Come and chat. It would be great. I'm going to lead us and close in a prayer, and then we'll hand over to the end of the service. Let's pray. Father, I just want to pray for Liam first and foremost. This is, while in many ways, his service, Lord, his example that has led to others coming and hearing what it is that we are here to do today. Lord, if you've spoken and convicted, because you say in your word, today is the day of salvation. It's the acceptable day. Not something to be delayed, not something to be put off. And yet at the same time, you ask us to count the cost because it will be difficult. Liam will be entering into a more difficult time. And Father, we do ask, as the wonderful prayers and sentiments and words that have been given by the folk here today would go with him and rest upon him. Lord, I pray if we've come here today and we have not understood, and we now know what it is, the purpose of the church is, and what it is that we're to do. If we've come to this place and we've not yet received you as Lord and Saviour, Lord, I just ask that as those who are prompted to do that, and if you know, as I'm praying this prayer of closing today, that this is for you, then I'm just going to pray a simple prayer, and you follow along in your hearts, and then we'd love to talk to you afterwards. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for bringing me here today to hear the words of salvation. I thank you that you died on the cross to take my sins, which I hand over to you in repentance, because I have to confess that I have lived life my own way. I now want to state that I want to live life your way. You died in order to make a way for me. Thank you that I know that I'm saved. My name is written in the book of life, and I will go to heaven when I die. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you've